The following program, Normal Show Live, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate for the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate or encourage any illegal activity and advise all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws by visiting normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers of Normal Show Live are their own and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it,
and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents Normal Show Live, Marijuana Nation. Now, here's your host, Normal's Outreach Coordinator, Radical Russ Belville.
Good afternoon, tokers and tokettes, and welcome. It is August 8th, Monday, 2011. Glad to have you here. It's got to be 420 somewhere in the world, and we have got plenty of show for you today. So stick around. We got all sorts of great stuff to bring to you. Starting with our introductions of our crew, as always, sitting next to me to my right, manning the ship of state, Ganja John. Oh my God, what'd you do?
I don't know, but that was the wrong button.
I think you broke something. Oh my God.
Yeah, I did. I broke something. That's not terrible. That button doesn't work anymore.
Yeah, let's not do that one. Glad to have you here, John. How was your weekend?
Absolutely fantastic. Had a great time. Didn't do much of anything.
How about Ron Funches' show? I know he had... We saw him on Conan, and the next night he had that show out there at the... Was it Brody Theater?
Brody Theater, yeah. Me and Kalika went out there and checked it out. He was super high and really tired.
But he killed.
He did great.
Of course he killed. Also in the studio, of course, Wiz Kalico is with us.
I always do that. I always hit the wrong button.
Good Lord. Hello, everybody.
We got to fix it.
So, Kalico, we were talking about your running for Congress on the net the other day, and someone was saying you'd be too young to run in this first district special election that's coming up, but... Tell
it's
them the
true. I would be too young to run in the special election, but I'm still planning on running in the regularly scheduled primary May 15th, and I will be 25 October 8th, less than a month before the actual election next November. So all good there.
All right. So check it out, ColecoForCongress.com. Also, in other news here of our stashers lately, I want to encourage everyone to check out YellowWannaCake.com. She's got her new cookbook website up there, so check that out, YellowWannaCake.com. On today's show, all sorts of fun because we got guests in the studio. I'll give you a look real quick on the studio cam. But before we introduce them, let's talk to Cannabis Carrie out there in our virtual studio in Grass Story, Oregon. How you doing, Carrie?
Hello. See, I'm not breaking things over here. Way to find the right button, John.
The studio audience loves you. That's why. So how was your weekend in Astoria?
Oh, it was fantastic. I had dogs all weekend, so it was House of Animals, but I still managed to get a few projects done. I feel pretty good about it.
Carrie's turned into Dr. Doolittle here. All right. After the first break, Carrie brings us our hemp headlines. So what do we got in the news today, Carrie?
Well, coming out of the weekend, I know a story that you've been discussing. Governor Gary Johnson makes his case for legalizing marijuana. Also, the attorney in Arizona is accusing the police down there of hassling new patients. We're also going to talk about an L.A. raid that, frankly, I don't see a lot of activists standing up and fighting against. And the big news today, of course, the feds came out this morning and have given us a more clear answer for, you know, some of the governors in the nation that can't seem to stop worrying about their state employees.
All right. We'll check that out in our hemp headlines right after the first break. And then at 20 after, today is Roots Monday. So we've got a video today from our Cannabob. It's Jim Miller and Legal Medicine Blues. So check that out at 20 after. At half past, we are going to have a little fun and frivolity with Todd Armstrong, who's here in the studio with us tonight. And we're going to be talking comedy and marijuana and anything else we can think of. And then at the end of the show, time for a radical rant. I got to talk a little bit about religion, so it's going to get thorny. Stick around. It's Normal Show Live. We're back right after this.
This is Normal Show Live. the voice of the Marijuana Nation.
In today's busy world, we're inundated by advertising for all types of pharmaceuticals that come with a laundry list of potential side effects. Shouldn't you have better medical choices? Natural alternatives to pills pushed by Big Pharma? At Alternative Medical Choices, you could choose natural, safe, and effective alternative therapies that are right for your budget without nasty side effects. Cannabis, or marijuana, has been a legal medicine in the Pacific Northwest since 1998. Our doctors will help determine your qualifications for a medical marijuana recommendation in Oregon, no matter where you live. Our massage therapist will ease your aches and stress with soothing hemp seed oil or cannabis-infused massage salves. We also offer acupuncture, Reiki, and other alternative health therapies. Call Alternative Medical Choices in Portland, Oregon at 503-288-5579 or visit our website at www.altmedchoices.com. We specialize in out-of-state recommendations. That's www.altmedchoices.com or call 503-288-5579.
Did you know there are more Tokers than Texans? Hi, I'm Radical Russ Belville, host of Normal Show Live. It's true, there are more adults who will consume cannabis in America this year than the population of Texas. This and thousands of other statistics and polls are part of my new book, Normal's Big Book of Marijuana Facts, including 19 full-color poster-sized infographics of cannabis data.
A entirely legitimate topic for debate.
If we're going to have that debate, we need the facts. But Normal's Big Book of Marijuana Facts isn't just some listing of statistics and tables. It's truly a big book, a huge weatherproof binder that becomes its own 12 by 18 presentation easel. The colorful charts are jam-packed with facts that draw interest, and the explanatory text is all rigorously researched from reputable sources. You can make the case against prohibition with the government's own numbers. You can learn more about Normal's Big Book of Marijuana Facts by visiting stash.normal.org/bigbook. Pre-orders are available, and shipping begins September 1st, 2011. That's stash.normal.org/bigbook.
Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, consumer cannabis. It's time for this week's Normal News with Cannabis Carrie.
Finally, what cannabis activists are seeing as a big win when it comes to the current administration. This week, the Obama administration gave the green light to state programs of medical marijuana policies by way of the top law enforcement agency in the nation. This morning, the Department of Justice made a motion to dismiss the lawsuit in the state of Arizona, a recent medical marijuana state whose governor was suing the feds to get clarification on the discrepancy between state and federal law when it comes to medical marijuana, a Schedule I controlled substance. Arizona Governor Jan Brewer had been at the forefront of a fight with the state-level legality of medical marijuana. Arizona passed a voter initiative last year to allow the use of marijuana for medical purposes, but Brewer was unwilling to let her state employees carry out the provisions of the law that allowed for dispensaries. She publicly said her lawsuit was based on her fear that the feds would prosecute innocent state employees for trafficking marijuana since they were facilitating the process by accepting applications for dispensary locations. But in speeches like the one she delivered to the State Sheriff Association last month, she chastised them for not doing enough to stop the legislation, then said she was doing her part by blocking some of it. Earlier this year, Washington State Governor Chris Gregoire made a similar argument about state employees when she blocked major reform legislation of that state's medical marijuana program. The Justice Department didn't leave any questions of their intention when it comes to state employees today. In the motion they filed to drop the entire suit, they promised that they have no plans to prosecute state employees for implementing legal medical marijuana programs that have been voted into law. In their motion to dismiss, they wrote that they had no concrete plan to act in violation of the Controlled Substances Act and that the plaintiffs can point to no threat of enforcement against the state's employees on the part of the federal government. So Washington, Arizona, and even New Jersey can now move forward with their programs since we have finally put this issue to bed. So great news out of Washington.
Oh, yeah. Fantastic news out of Washington. Boy, the feds have been coming back and just slapping Jan Brewer down here, saying there's no reason whatsoever to be skittish about implementing a state-approved medical marijuana program, even if it has dispensaries, even if it has state employees doing the work in those dispensaries. They promise no prosecutions here. exactly what we've been saying here. We've pointed this out that it's been the case in Maine and Montana and California and Colorado for years now that the state of employees have been involved in health. Hell, the state of Colorado has an entire medical marijuana enforcement division whose job is to collect money off of medical marijuana, and the feds haven't done a thing about that. And it just further emphasizes what I've said a long time about marijuana prohibition, how it's the government protecting their turf as drug dealers. It's basically what's going on here. The Obama administration has made it clear that they're willing to raid people, private individuals who are running dispensaries under state law. But when it comes to governments running dispensaries under state law, oh, see, they don't have any sort of problem with that, apparently. So it's all about who's in control of this. It's all about who controls the drugs that we get. And I'm reminded of the words of Thomas Jefferson, who once said, if the people allow the governments to decide what foods we eat or what medicines we take, our bodies shall be in the same as those that are in tyranny. And that's what's happening here. We are in tyranny from this federal government, and they want to just pass that buck on to the state governments to control this plant. It's not going to happen. Always fight for home grow and continue to fight for legalization for everyone, even us healthy people.
And a medical marijuana dispensary in Los Angeles was raided on Friday, and officers found more than medical marijuana at the facility. Police entered the White Oak Healing Center in Northridge, California, and seized 75 pounds of marijuana, as well as 20 pounds of cocaine and a host of oxycodone pills and several weapons. Law enforcement is accusing the dispensary operators of being a front for an interstate drug trafficking operation. The owner of the White Oak Healing Center is 60-year-old Raymond George, who was arrested during the raid along with six other people who were all charged on multiple counts, including conspiracy to possess, sell, and transport an estimated $27 million worth of cocaine. The LAPD Devonshire Narcotics Enforcement Detail had set up to serve a search warrant at the White Oak Healing Center, a medical marijuana dispensary that was the location of an attempted murder investigation late last year. Now, in that case, the owner's son, Elias George, was shot multiple times in what had all of the appearances of an organized crime-style hit. So the resulting attempted murder investigation by the LAPD West Valley Area Homicide led to information that the store owner, Raymond George, was involved in the interstate transportation and sales of marijuana and cocaine to the Midwest. George was also charged with additional counts of possession of assault weapons and selling oxycodone. He faces up to 13 years in prison if convicted, and the others in the case are all facing 10 years if they are convicted.
Got it. It's a shame when you get cases like this because the opponents seize on them and say, ah, see? See? Medical marijuana is just a front. It's all a lie. It's all a Trojan horse. It's just for the fronts of drug dealers here. Well, this guy's a drug dealer. He'd be a drug dealer whether there's medical marijuana or not medical marijuana. What this points out, though, is that the ability to use this medical marijuana to conceal marijuana operations is the fact that marijuana is the hardest of the drug operations to conceal. It's a big, bulky plant. Has to grow under these big, huge lights that give off that use electricity, that you can trace through electricity bills. It's stinky. It's smelly. It's bulky. It's hard to transport. So what we need to do here is to separate that market from these hard drug markets. Allow there to be marijuana markets for those of us who want to purchase this substance, those adults that are using it responsibly, that don't want to have anything to do with cocaine or OxyContin or weapons or anything like that. The problem with medical marijuana as it exists now is it has to run parallel with a black market. And you can't have a white market running alongside a black market without both of them getting a little grayer. Let's separate those and just make it a white market completely. Make it a completely legal market in marijuana. And I guarantee you see less problems with the hard drugs.
An attorney in Arizona is accusing the police of hassling medical marijuana patients. Attorney Adam Trank has said that recently his law firm has received dozens of calls from patients who claim to have had run-ins with the police, even though they are within the legal confines of the Arizona Medical Marijuana Program. He said he was outraged at a particular case he got a call on where a SWAT team raided a gentleman's home. He said that there are people who are carrying their medical marijuana cards and still being arrested for possession. Trank is worried and told the local ABC affiliate that he feels more patients that are legally allowed to use marijuana may become targets of law enforcement. He hopes that the law will be enforced as the voters intended it to, and qualified patients should not have to risk persecution. The Phoenix Police Department has been contacted by several media outlets for a comment on the Phoenix attorney's claim, but so far have declined to provide any.
Yeah, these cops, when these new laws come out, you got to understand that there's a substantial number in law enforcement that just like busting potheads. It is like busting hippies and lowlifes, dirty scumbag liberals, or whatever they conceive of us to be. You know, it's always a certain type of cannabis consumer that gets picked on in this case. But regardless, the situation here in Arizona is that the police need better training, and they need to understand that these are laws, not guidelines, not suggestions. We had the same thing happen in Oregon. I, when I first got involved here in Oregon in 2005, I can remember hearing stories like this, where cops in certain counties would say, well, we don't go with what the law advises. The law does not advise something. The law tells you what you're going to do. But it's just because they can't get their minds around these people that they have thought of as scumbag loser criminals for so long are now patients that need protection and respect. And their minds just can't make that leap. And believe me, we've tried to educate them. I remember when I was working with Oregon Normal, we contacted the county and state police departments and said, hey, we will give you classes. We'll come in for free and train your officers on what the law is. We'll bring lawyers in who helped write the law. We'll tell you what the law is. We were declined at every opportunity. Some of these guys just don't want to know what the law is. Well, the good news is, with attorneys like Adam Trank on this and lawsuits that will certainly be pending and hopefully some big damage awards from some of these cities and counties that are perpetrating this this terrible action on our patients, maybe then they'll learn their lesson.
The former governor of New Mexico and current Republican candidate running for president, Gary Johnson, has taken the time out of his campaign to write an opinion piece for the Washington Times that calls for reason in the war against marijuana. He makes the case for legalizing marijuana by illustrating the effect our drug war has had on neighboring Mexico. He asks the question what drug lords in Mexico fear the most from, between fences, stricter laws, and military troops, and says that they fear the U.S. legalizing marijuana, their biggest and most profitable crop, first and foremost. Johnson, who governed a border state for a full two full terms, may make the most reasonable case yet as a highly known politician campaigning on a platform of reason when it comes to border issues. He tells Americans that 28,000 people have lost their lives in drug gang violence in the past 6 years and calls the threat to national security larger than Iraq, Afghanistan, and Libya. Candidate Johnson gets to the real issue, though, the societal cost of treating drug abuse as a crime rather than a health issue. He ends his argument asking us to end prohibition just as we ended the last one.
Well, we've spoken much about Gary Johnson. He's been at the Normal conferences. He's been at the Hemp Fest. He's been speaking out about this issue quite a bit. And one thing that comes up when we talk about this is how much legalizing marijuana would hurt the Mexican cartels. And one figure that's thrown out there a lot is that 60% of the cartel's business depends on marijuana. And this was given to us back in 2006 from the drug czar's office. They told us this, right? So we've been saying 60%. Well, the ONDCP has backed off on this estimate. They issued a paper last year, a memo, where they said the estimate that drug cartels derive 60% of their revenue from marijuana transactions based on data from 1997 was derived from models of marijuana yield and the nature of drug trafficking business that are dated and may no longer apply. So did they honestly correct a mistake, or did they realize the 60% figure they were using to scare people about dangerous marijuana backfired when we pointed out that legalization would take 60% of their business? Well, either way, is the ONDCP really proud to say, in essence, yeah, marijuana used to be a majority of what the Mexicans were smuggling back in 97, but now they're bringing in more meth, coke, and heroin? Hey, great job, drug czar. And as for changes in their markets, I decided to compare the American annual use of coke, meth, heroin, and marijuana from 1997 and 2009 from the government's own data. And guess what I found? That there was an increase of 9 million marijuana smokers over that time, while there was combined an increase of about 2 million users of all other hard drugs. So in layman's terms, what the government is telling you is in that 1997, when there were almost 13 million more annual pot smokers than cocaine, heroin, and stimulant users combined, marijuana was 60% of their business. But now, in 2009, when there are 20 million more annual pot smokers than cocaine, heroin, and stimulant users, marijuana is a smaller part of their overall business? Over a dozen years, 80% of the 11.5 million person increase in illicit substance use are pot smokers, but marijuana's become less important to the Mexican cartel's business model? I think the only way that could really happen is if all those new pot smokers are getting their marijuana domestically, which kind of makes my point, doesn't it? Now, the Rand Corporation went and took a look at this, and they did a study in this during Prop 19 in California, and their estimates were that the United States sales were about $2 billion, maybe $1.5 billion, and the percentage of Mexican drug trafficking organizations' revenue is probably 15 to 26%. Oh, it's only 15 to 26%. Well, then there's no point in legalizing if it's only 15 to 26%. Why, that's only a sixth to one quarter of their business. Really not worth it, right? Look, regardless of what the actual figure is, the entire debate hinges on whether we allow dangerous, violent, international criminals to profit off a substance far safer than alcohol that we can produce domestically. Coca and poppies don't really grow well up here, and nobody really wants a Trailer Park meth lab, but the marijuana industry is something that could revitalize the American economy and produce much-needed jobs. That 15% to 26% Rand estimate is an economic boost any American state could use these days.
Well, I've declined to go to the Trailer Park.
Is the Trailer Park in Quintaco? We got to take a break. We'll be right back after we finish teasing Carrie.
It's 20 after the hour, and we have to take a short break, if you know what I mean. Please support these sponsors who support Normal Show Live.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? Reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would send you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
Been busted? Need a lawyer? Call the Normal Legal Committee for an attorney near you. Find one at norml.org. Remember, attorneys are cheaper than a lifelong criminal drug record.
Just have freedom. Freedom. I'm free to do it.
It's time for your daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420-friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Today we bring you tunes for Roots Monday, our celebration of the music that evolved into the popular modern music of today. We pick the best of blues, country, folk, and jazz with a 420 feel and serve it up for you every Monday. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on Normal Show Live, send it to us at stash@normal.org. Now here's some more great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tunes.
Hey everybody, this is Cannon Bob with another video version of your Roots Monday Toker Tune. Today we've got a folksy blues song called The Legal Medicine Blues by Mr. Jim Miller, who is the founder of the Coalition for Medical Marijuana in New Jersey. He wrote this song for his friend Jackie Rickert. And it also features some clips of Rick Harris on the Wisconsin State Capitol steps playing this tune at a vigil for Cheryl Miller. So relax and enjoy Jim Miller with the Legal Medicine Blues on your Roots Monday Toker Tune.
Song called Legal Medicine Blues, written for a friend of mine, Jackie Rickert, the same Jackie Rickert of the Jackie Rickert Medical Marijuana
Video.
I don't care. Oh, no, it's not bud. It's cooking herb. Fuck. Anyway, yeah, I hadn't played this in a long time. I actually had to look up some of the words, and what I thought after the bill passing committee and the assembly.
Yeah, let's enjoy it.
And is there two-year-old strings on the guitar that I don't play much anymore?
Take everything big in it. Take all potions and pills. Maybe they work, maybe they don't. Sometimes I get the feeling ill. I got my own prescription. Gets me through the day with a nod. My doctor's name is Mercy. My pharmacist's name is God. I
got the
When it gonna make a mess and I take eagle nips and juice. I thought this was America. Why aren't I free to choose? Don't you quote a lot of me. If you do, you're gonna lose. I got
when you gonna make medicine and tea, legal nets and blues. Grows in the field, on the farm, grows in the valley wide. It grows great on the fire escape, grows on the mountainside. Flowers and leaves to the east, sometimes it helps me see. Nature made it so easy to find, why can't you let me be? I got the when you gonna make the medicine I take, legal medicine blues. Thought this was America, where I'm free to choose. Don't you quote a law to me, if you do you're gonna lose. I got the when you gonna make the medicine I take, legal medicine blues.
Men and women of conscience, I really do need a friend. Never wanted to break the law, but I heard too bad to pretend. Please listen, you lawmakers, I'm reaching out my hand. You gotta realize, you gotta legalize. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
My God, the when don't mix medicine and tea,
legal medicine blues. How about September? Thought this was America.
Ooh,
what are I free to choose?
Don't you quote a lot of me. If you do, you're gonna lose. I got the win you're gonna be.
Medicine take, legal medicine blues.
As far as I'm going.
You want a copy of that song for your iPod? Check out the Daily Toker Tunes at the Stash blog by surfing to stash.normal.org and choosing Media and then Toker Tunes from the main menu.
Starfish Designs, makers of the original Gandalf.
I'm Radical Russ, and when I want to relax, I always have my 17-inch long original Gandalf from Starfish Designs nearby. The hand-blown borosilicate glass is strong and easy to clean, and the design is sleek and sophisticated. Starfish Designs are available from Bend, Oregon at a glass retailer near you. For locations, call 541-788-GLASS. That's 541-788-4527.
Michael Phelps, Olympic superstar, 14 gold medals, world record holder. Bomb smoker. So much for that amotivational syndrome. Devastating effect of the war on marijuana is that it is a war on everyday people like you and me. All week, we speak to the doctors, scientists, celebrities, and politicians who make up the professionals fighting for cannabis liberty. But we never forget about the tens of millions who use cannabis, the millions who need medical access to cannabis, and the hundreds of thousands arrested every year for cannabis, and the tens of thousands imprisoned under our marijuana laws. At Normal, we are the Cannabis Consumers Lobby, and we take this opportunity to share the experience of our cannabis community.
All right, everybody, welcome back, and we are so excited to have more live guests in the studio, and we promise we're going to have more and more live guests from this wonderful artist community that we have here in Portland, Oregon. Last week, we welcomed Peg Leg on for a little bit of hip-hop. Today, we've got Todd Armstrong for, I guess, just discussion, philosophy, comedy, whatever we decide to call it. How you doing, Todd?
Not too bad, yourself?
I'm doing great. Now, you're Portland native?
Yes, sir.
Right on, right on.
Born here in 1978.
Oh, my goodness. All right, so we met out at the Helium Comedy Club. We were all out there to see Ron Funches do his act on Conan, which was just fantastic. And you and I got to talking after the gig about medical marijuana and marijuana use, and you mentioned that you're involved in that. So tell folks your connection to the marijuana movement.
Well, I quite often perform at the Cannabis Cafe for a lot of the patients and whatnot, and yeah. I really kind of stumbled onto, I guess, the artisan of the community in the sense of I'd never really understood the fact that people took so much time and effort into their individual strains and techniques.
Yeah.
So it became almost more than just medicine. It became a hobby for a lot of the patients, and I found it to be more intriguing the farther I got into it, so I just love talking with folks, and that's how I stumbled across you after slinging some jokes for you.
Right on. Yeah, and we hear a lot when they talk about legalization, like, treat it like alcohol, or treat marijuana like beer. I really think it's more like wine.
Yeah.
You got, like, wine snobs, and every different type of wine, every different type of strain. That's what I've noticed.
And also, I mean, I love it when people describe their different aging techniques and preparation techniques, so dry ice, butane, like all these different things to make a variation of different products, and it's so unique word.
I know.
I can imagine even beer could be near that complex.
I mean, we ought to just legalize marijuana just to get kids interested in shop and chemistry class again.
Oh, absolutely. I was watching a documentary about the five crops that changed the planet, and they were talking about how the prohibition of cannabis has led to the fact of our greatest biologists diverting into that realm.
Yeah,
and so they've lost a lot of it. So that's why they're talking about the fact we're so genetically diverse in just cannabis, even though we have this macro culture of corn, tomatoes, and everything else.
Yeah, yeah. Now, we were also talking during break here. You see, you've been a wakeboarder, been involved in all that kind of stuff. So, I imagine there's a lot of cannabis use among that crowd.
Oh, absolutely. When there's a bunch of people ruining their knees and their low backs forever, it's been a necessity for me since I was in my early 20s.
Like,
something that gets rid of the arthritis. So,
what do you find? What do you find most ridiculous or sublime about this whole prohibition that we're dealing with about marijuana?
I think the fact that the old guard rules are still entrenched, even though people know the logic behind it, like that it's no, it's a drug, the old, Ronald Reagan, I have proof that one hit of marijuana is a toll to have your brain wiped out of Bikini Island from a nuclear blast. Like, yeah. We still hold on to that in the government, even though most people in the government have either known that or tried it and know it's nothing near the severity that they claim it is.
You know, we have a segment we do on the show sometimes we call Stupid Stoner Stories. And it's like, Damon Stoudemire went through the airport with marijuana wrapped in tinfoil.
Yeah.
That's a stupid stoner story. It's not that you got busted. It's like, you should have known that would have got you busted.
Yeah.
Anything like that ever happened to you or someone you know?
Oh, let's see. I think the best one was when the first time I ever really smoked, I was so nervous and paranoid that I hid it in my retainer case at home under my waterbed.
Okay.
So the warming of the waterbed made the whole thing come out. My parents smelled it instantly.
Oh,
found
yeah.
it, thinking I was super covert, but I should have turned down the waterbed. So.
Oh, my God. Oh, wow. Well, hanging out here with Todd Armstrong. And Todd, as far as your gigs here, working in comedy, when will people be able to see you next?
I'll be at Harvey's Comedy Club the last week of September. I'll be at the Baghdad Theater the 23rd of September. I'll be headlining that.
So. Oh, cool. How about Web Connects, if anybody wants
actually,
to
you can find me on Facebook or Twitter under Goob the Knob, GOOBTAGKNOB. Long story short, it's an amazing stoner story.
Yes,
I was
yes.
sitting around with my wife joking about the stupidest parody of a porn we could ever think of. And I was thinking Gleaming the Cube, the skateboard movie
right,
in the 80s.
Right.
Goobing the Knob. Right? Right? And so I had just started comedy. I never thought I'd get as far as I have. And so I was like, oh, that'd be stupid because I had to get a Facebook page. So I was like, Goob the Knob, because my mom used to call me a goob and a knob when I was a kid. So I figured she would feel creeped out in a positive way being an uptight Catholic lady. So
yeah.
Win-win, and then long story short, that's my email, my Facebook, my Twitter. So.
Yeah, now, you had quite a, you know, I know from your show that you had quite an upbringing with your family and all. Tell our listeners a little bit about the Cletuses.
Absolutely.
Is it Cletai?
Yes. It just looks so silly with a double I there. But no, my father's name is Cletus Roger Armstrong, I'm sorry, because my grandma had a crush on Roy Rogers.
Okay.
My grandfather's name is Cletus Armstrong, no middle name. My first cousin's name is Cletus. I have Lonnie's, I have Travis's. My dad was the first in his family to graduate high school.
Oh, wow.
And so they grew up, my grandma and grandpa met picking migrant fruit in Illinois, and then they went back to Mississippi, and then I believe Michigan, and then they wrote letters. My grandpa couldn't read. So the dirty letters my grandma wrote my grandpa were translated by his grandmother. My grandmother. Yeah, so he didn't tell my grandma that until they were later married.
Oh, my goodness.
So that's how incestuous love, tight-knit, farm picking.
No. So dad's the first to graduate high school. Yeah. You're doing stand-up comedy. Is that upward or lateral movement?
I feel like I don't know. My dad's always supported me and trusted my decisions.
Yeah.
And my mom, when I was a kid, always told me I would be a lawyer or stand-up comic, and I realized that I'm very bad at lying and I'm very good at telling the truth, so I had to pick comedy.
Right on, man. So, John, if you want to jump in at any time, if you had any questions or anything, nothing.
I do want to say, if you're following us at NormalNet, that we have tweeted out the link to Todd's Facebook page and his Twitter, so be sure to get on that.
Yeah, and make sure that you like him.
Yeah, you can dislike my comedy, but like me, I need that.
Yes. Everybody has to be liked, although I think being liked is not as bad as being followed.
Please just follow me. That creeps me out. Yeah. Because
got the folks going on, yeah. So you grew up here in Portland, so you've been able to see how this place has, you know, changed over time, especially with, you know, as far as the medical marijuana coming into play. So, give us as a kid growing up here, was it the weed playground that it is today, or different?
It really was. It's always had that subliminal culture of marijuana. There's always been that, people calling it pot and just the Saturday market. Ever since I was a kid, that's where you went to get your first piece. It was almost like transitive. If that's you moving into your adulthood, if ignoring your parents and staying out late is buying your first piece at Saturday market. So,
wow. Yeah, that's what I did for my bar mitzvah.
Yeah, that's where you always pick up girls on their bat mitzvahs is buying their first piece.
There you go.
Yeah,
there
exactly.
You go.
Hot 12-year-olds in a day, right?
So back to doing your stand up comedy. As far as that business goes, what got you into stand up comedy? I mean, how do you do that? How do you start that?
I've never touched a microphone. I was going back to school to be a teacher after doing a long sales career and then quitting capitalism because it's boring and distasteful. So, yeah. So I was going back to school with my teaching degree and I kept having panic attacks doing my training, teaching, speaking in front of the kids. And so I was like, what's the worst thing I could do? New Year's resolution for 2010. I'll do stand-up comedy 5 times. And so I just went up and did it 5 times, and then I hated it but kind of loved it. And then I did it like a 7th time, and this comic came up and was a real dick to me about, hey, I do these kind of jokes. And I was like, wait a minute, if I'm making another comic uncomfortable, I better give this 15 shots. And then it just kept rolling, and it's been a year and a half, and I couldn't be happier with where I'm at.
Do I know who this comic is?
Probably. I mean,
asshole.
It's just in a sense of it's almost like junior high. It's very territorial. Oh, yeah. There's no real rules. It's like the lunchroom at junior highs, I guess, would describe the. There's cliques, but everybody pretty much gets along. Occasionally, there's a food fight for some stupid reason.
Everything moves on. I'd say that about Portland comedy. It's very cliquey.
Yeah. Yeah. When I first came in, I said it was clicky. People got it's not clicky. It's like, it would be bad if you're defending it. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot. There's so many. Everyone's nice. It's a large community. I've never been dejected. I mean, I get along with pretty much everybody.
Well, I'll tell you right now, versus I hang out in the comedy community and the marijuana community. Those are kind of my scenes. And it seems they're less vindictive in the comedy movement, believe it or not.
The more forgive and forget.
Like people,
we let it go.
Yeah, people are territorial, but not as much as they are about their strain or something like that. Yeah.
So you were talking about, when you were training and trying to combat that anxiety of public speaking and all that. Is that where marijuana comes in for
Absolutely.
You as far as an anxiety thing?
Yeah, I've only done it not high once.
Okay.
Really?
And it wasn't any different because I have OCD and ADD beyond all means. This is me talking conscientiously slow.
Okay.
It's always spinning nonstop. And
I
so
understand that.
It allows me to have it makes me feel normal, pun intended. You know,
right. Right.
But it just gives me, I guess, gets to turn it down 15%. I never get just, oh my goodness, I can't get up. Ooh, where are my hands?
Yeah.
Because my brain's always spinning so quick.
You know, I agree with that.
Pacing mechanism, I'd say.
Yeah, I have a feeling like that too, because I've always felt that there was like a million things going on in my head at once, and there's still a million things going on, but cannabis helps me juggle.
Oh yeah,
I write
my jokes when I'm driving, not in a rude way. My pads on the passenger seat. I'm scribbling in chicken scratch. Listen to the radio, just like I need five things going on at once. I'm like, oh my god, that's great, and I'll just write it down and get home. I was like, what the fuck is that? And then decipher it.
Yeah, and then you got these people that will say, you know, that there's some people that are like, okay, I'm cool with medical marijuana when you have nausea or pain or cancer or AIDS or whatever, but these people claiming anxiety or depression or, you know, that really bugs me because there's so much in our society that we take for granted for people
with anxiety.
Yeah, good point there. But, you know, people taking, you know, Xanax and sleep aids, Ambien, and all these kind of things. And then the other side is that these people that will say that you're using it, you know, non-medically. You're using it non-medically to get high or to get some non-medical effect. But then I think of things like, you know, Viagra. Guys that don't really need Viagra that are using Viagra, you know, these energy drinks and stuff. I mean, the line is really blurred. So, you know, I consider that medical use. I think what you're doing is medical for sure.
Two beers before people go on stage, two beers before I have to have a glass of wine before the date starts. I mean, you're kidding yourself in a sense of you're not self-medicating. You're using a substance, whatever it may be, to adjust your mood or being to make yourself more comfortable.
You know, we tell stories every day about, you know, people getting busted, having trouble with the police. Anything like that in your background as far as the marijuana thing?
No.
It's never been a problem.
No, I've always been very smart. I've always, I'm a person that I'd never really keep it on me at all.
Do you think that maybe is why, like, some people that are pot smokers aren't more involved? Because it's like, what's the big deal? I can get it when I want. Nobody ever hassles me.
Yeah, I think the attitude is completely different. Like, people view, most likely, alcohol is viewed as, I can go somewhere, I can get it, no big deal. And pot in Portland, in a sense, is you can go somewhere, you can get it. You can almost count a three and five shot where you're going, you can get some.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the time, it's such a communal effort. It's not like you have to buy it or acquire it. It's just reciprocity, because it's a two-way street.
Oh, it's a total two-way street. That's how I've always seen it. Like, you know, I have 5 or 6 ounces of weed. I'm going to probably give away 3 of them. And whenever I run out, it's funny, you know, I think I talked about this with one of you guys earlier, running out of oil lately, it hasn't happened.
Yeah.
And I can't remember the last time I made it, or, you know, it always comes back to me. Someone brings me something like that. Thanks, Phil, by the way.
It's all that, you know, it's connections, and I'm glad you mentioned empathy, too, because something we're sorely lacking. And I wonder, do you think cannabis enhances people's empathy? Or exposes what's already there.
I completely think that. I think people define empathy in America today not so much as how do you view it? It's more like, I wouldn't do that if I was in your shoes. People have the inability to put themselves in another person's mindset. It's just like they're so one-sided, narcissistic, how you want to view it. They only turn themselves around and go, no, I wouldn't smoke pot for my anxiety. I'd just get out and, you know, buy a John Wayne commemorative plate and climb a tree like a man would. Like, it's like, you're like, no, son, that's Chuck in Bob's shoes. But how does Chuck really feel?
Yeah. You
know, so.
Yeah, and you know, I've often thought too that, you know, it's like, why does the government have such a hard on about, you know, busting marijuana and keeping marijuana down? And I actually think that has something to do with it, that people that are more in touch with empathy and nature and each other are not good consumers.
Yeah,
it's a theory I've had for a long time, so I'm glad you brought that up. So As we wind up here, just a couple more things. I wanted to know, first of all, as someone, again, I want to come back to your Portland roots and growing up here, and totally out of left field here, should we re-sign Greg Oden?
I would say no. Embrace the Bowie clause. I mean, we fucked up on Jordan, fucked up on Durant. Just move on. We've always had pretty good two guards. We've always missed out on the really good two guards, and...
There you go.
I miss Clyde Drexler. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I don't know.
I knew there was another reason I liked you. It's because you're right on Odin.
The kid had so much physical talent, but so many large frames just don't hold up.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, it's sad, but yeah, that's what
nice
we live
guy,
with in Portland.
Nice guy. He comes out to a lot of comedy shows. Yeah. Super nice dude.
Yeah,
yeah, really nice.
What can you do?
And he lets us in his box sometimes for consideration.
What a nice guy to pass the girls around.
Hey, all right. All right. Well, Todd Armstrong, thank you so much. And it's Goob the Knob.
Yes, sir.
On Facebook?
Facebook, Twitter, my Gmail account. Say hi.
Goob the Knob. Like, follow, but do not poke. Todd Armstrong. Thanks for joining us here on Normal Show Live, man. Good times. When we come back, we're going to do a little radical ranting. I got some things to say about religion and cannabis. Stick around.
I have to say that there was one question that was voted on that ranked fairly high, and that was whether legalizing marijuana would improve the economy and job creation. I don't know what this says about the online audience, but the answer is no. I don't think that is a good strategy to grow our economy. So...
about nearly 1 million lives wrecked by a marijuana arrest every year, Mr. President. Politely tell President Obama what you think about legalization by calling the White House at 202-456-1111. This is Normal Show Live.
Tokers, this is Radical Russ encouraging you to check out the great music this summer. And one group you should definitely check out are big supporters of normal and marijuana legalization, and that's Slightly Stupid. Get all the details online at seedlesssummertour.com. Slightly Stupid. Revolution. Schwayze. And Cisco. It's the stoniest show of the summer, coming to Missoula, Boise, Redmond, Washington, Eugene and Jacksonville, Oregon, Lake Tahoe, Berkeley, San Diego, Salt Lake City, Aspen, Denver, Asbury Park, Guilford, New Hampshire, Philadelphia, Boston, New York, Baltimore, Charlotte, Cocoa Beach, Boca Raton, St. Augustine, Atlanta, Raleigh, Columbus, Ohio, Chicago, Mesa, Arizona, and Irvine, California. Don't miss it. For more details, visit SeedlessSummerTour.com. Seedless Summer Tour is sponsored by Seedless.com, Sector 9, Groot Shark, Revolution Vodka, and Silver Surfer Vaporizers.
As High Times Senior Cultivation Editor, I'm often called into the field and asked to sample or even identify exotic strains of marijuana in their natural habitat. Now, for the first time, I've compiled more than 120 of my favorite strains into this single field guide designed to fit into your pocket as you travel the world in search of your favorite plant. From Friend's Closet Grow Room to the wilds of Northern California, this single guide covers all of today's best-known strains, plus heirlooms and throwbacks, including High Times quality photos and information on each variety's genetic heritage and growing characteristics, plus my personal notes on aroma, flavor, and potency. So this is Danny Danko, author of the official High Times Field Guide to Marijuana Strains, wishing you good times and great ganja.
The official High Times Field Guide to Marijuana Strains is available at hightimes.com and finer bookstores.
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
You want answers?
You have offended my family.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
And you have offended a Shaolin temple.
You can't handle the truth.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious, and don't call me Shirley.
Radical rant.
All right, it's Monday, which means it's time to figure out who has Radical Russ pissed off this week. I've been having a good time this past week in the comment sections on various blogs. I've been ranting full bore on this situation in Colorado. And just to fill you in, if you haven't been following, people behind Safer, the Safer Alternatives for Enjoyable Recreation, Mason Tvert, and Brian Vincente, local attorney in Colorado, with backing from MPP and DPA, have filed Amendment 30 to legalize 1 ounce of marijuana outside of the home, 6 plants cultivation inside the home, the results of all your harvests, so long as you keep them in the home, not the last harvest, all of them, and the legalization of industrial hemp. And then there's some local activists down there that are upset because that's not true legalization. Yeah, it's a whole long story. I don't want to get into it again. But basically, I've been ranting on this for quite a while. And specifically, my problem is that you can't really call yourself anti-prohibition or a marijuana legalization activist if you're fighting tooth and nail against something that would legalize, would make legal. Maybe not as much or as how you would like it, but legal nonetheless. So I disparaged some of them. I called some of them batshit crazy and full-blown wackaloons. So, yeah, I got a little mad. And the problem was, though, I ended the sentence with, and some of them put Rev before their name, as in Reverend, right? And now this is a problem because there are a number of cannabis-based type religions and ministers that call themselves Reverend that believe in cannabis as a sacrament. And there's one in particular in Colorado who's hopping mad, and he's saying he won't support the legalization campaign if this is what normal thinks of them, which, again, is a case of putting your personal slights over the cause. It shouldn't matter one iota what I think. And it was my personal comment, not a normal comment, but it shouldn't matter one iota what I think, because if it changes your support of ending the prohibition of your sacrament, you should be for it. And if you're against it, I question how much you really consider it a sacrament. I mean, the head of the NAACP could call me out personally as an ignorant inbred cracker, and it wouldn't shake my support of the NAACP or ending racism one bit. I know to put the personal aside and support the cause regardless. Now, this whole subject of cannabis and religion is somewhat difficult for me because I am an atheist. So for me to distinguish between the people who sincerely believe the entire universe was created so sentient hairless apes on one particular wet rock could praise its creator by consuming in great quantity one particular plant life form the creator made holy, from the people who choose to insincerely parrot a belief structure to avoid prison time, is kind of like asking me to figure out which is faster, a unicorn or the Starship Enterprise. But I am assured that there are indeed plenty of very devout believers in cannabis sacrament as a part of their greater religious spirituality. And I'm a First Amendment supporter, man. You got your religious rights. I totally believe in that. And certainly the Rastafarians and the Coptic Christians have been espousing this belief in cannabis sacrament for a very long time. But even the modern religions that have sprung up in the past few decades recognizing cannabis as sacrament, they really don't need to clear any hurdle higher than Henry VIII wanting divorce in 1534, or Joseph Smith wanting multiple wives in 1830, or L. Ron Hubbard writing a sci-fi novel in 1953. So long as your religion is more than just, let's smoke a lot of pot, I'm fine with it. However, in my work as covering marijuana law reform, for every devout, sincere man of faith that I find, there's dozens I find who are just recreational pot smokers who cloak themselves in the mantle of false piety in an attempt to avoid persecution. Now, these are the Revs I'm disparaging. They are just about as religious as an 18-year-old in 1969 who suddenly became a religious conscientious objector when his number came up in a draft lottery. I feel that those types simultaneously damage the credibility of both marijuana law reform and religious faith in a marijuana sacrament. Now, personally, I find the need to argue that cannabis is a First Amendment spiritual sacrament is as unnecessary as arguing for a medical necessity defense. The Ninth Amendment of the Constitution tells us that just because a right isn't in the Constitution doesn't mean it ain't a right. And the Tenth Amendment tells us that if a power is granted to the feds of the states, if it isn't granted to the feds of the states, it's the people's power. So growing and consuming plants is one of those inalienable natural rights that needs no further explanation. Whether you believe it's a sacrament, medicine, or just a good time, it's your right. So to the Revs out there, I apologize for disparaging you if that's what it takes to get you on board for legalizing your sacrament. But I'd be more convinced of your religious sincerity if the words of a mortal atheist blogger weren't enough to dissuade your support. And there you go. That's your radical rant for today. Leaving us about 7 minutes left in the show, we can talk about this subject because I know we got our guest in the studio here, Todd.
And I know we're kind of on the same wavelength here, so I was just wondering if you had any comments on the whole religion and cannabis thing.
I find it to be... Well, it's been part of religious sacrament for as long as the Hindus have had it. I mean, you look mm-hmm. at different ways of just having a relaxing thing that you had... It's been used by the Hashishans, I mean, to make the first bit of terrorist activity ever.
So yes.
It's been involved in the good and bad side of religion as long as man's used it, or yeah. not. It's for rope or menstrual cramps or for anything.
You know, I have a picture up on the blog that I put up of, and it's from the movie Square Grouper. And Square Grouper, we watch it because it's about the cannabis movement in the 70s and the smugglers and the early pioneers here. And our friend Robert Platshorn's in it. He was America's longest serving marijuana prisoner, did 29 years of a 64-year sentence for marijuana smuggling, nonviolent first offender. And so he's out now, and he's got a book, you know, Black Tuna Diaries, and he's doing work with Normal and the Silver Tour and so on. But in this movie, it's kind of a three-part documentary, and the second part's about him. The first part is about Brother Love, and I'll bring the picture up here on the screen if I can. Brother Love was with the Coptic Church back in the day, in the 1970s, and he, you know, espoused the use of cannabis as a sacrament, you know, like many of these folks do. And I want to get this picture up because, first of all, the getup is really cool. I got to admit, you know, religion does have some of the coolest stuff as far as clothes,
costuming,
and all that. You know, makes everybody look cool. So let me pull this photo up here. Headshot here.
The Catholics were the first guys rocking gold chains.
Oh, yeah.
Cloaks.
Okay, so here we go. We'll get this picture of Brother Love up here. This is from 1970 some odd. So there's Ooh. Brother Love, right? And
is he jumping over the fountain at Caesar's Palace? Looks like Evel Knievel's vegan brother.
and Brother Love, Coptic believer here, Ethiopian Zion Coptic Church, and all, believes in cannabis as sacrament.
Yeah.
He's about 6'7", right? He's this huge guy, right? And I pointed out that he made one big mistake for being treated seriously as a religious leader.
Tassels?
No silly hat.
No silly hat.
No silly hat. You gotta have the silly hat.
Especially when you're balding.
Especially.
Yes.
But in this movie, they show how Brother Love talks about cannabis sacrament, and it's all good, and literally, like, puffing on huge blunts, like, all the time. Like, nonstop chain smoking of blunts, right? And so this was their religious belief, and they were pushing this in courts to try to, you know, get it recognized as a First Amendment sacrament right. And where it stopped and where their whole movement came apart was when the 60 Minutes crew is in there filming their commune, and they got the little 8-year-olds puffing blunts nonstop, you know, chain smoking of these blunts, because in their religion they just believe, well, everybody should have it, even the children should have it, and that sunk the movement right there. And so when it comes to this religious belief in cannabis, the problem I have with it is much the problem I have with all religion, is the notion of true belief and no compromise. And so if these people have this true belief that everybody should use ganja regardless of their age and won't compromise on that, then these people can be an impediment to getting any sort of legalization, because the public's just not ready to vote for anyone under the age of 21 getting weed. So that's where it's difficult for me, because I have to separate, you know, religion as a personal spiritual thing, which is like masturbation. I don't care. You do it. It's your thing. If you're happy with it, makes you feel good, great. I don't care. I don't want to know about it. But as a social phenomenon, I have to comment on it. And as a structure that may affect the legalization of marijuana, I have to address it. And that's where I'm at with this thing. And I don't know where I'm going with this, but it's something that's really difficult for me, because everybody comes on, you know, and especially as a self-avowed atheist and willing to say that, I immediately get the backlash from these people. Oh, well, you're an atheist. You don't understand. Well, no, I don't understand the religion side of it, but I do understand the social, what it's doing to our movement side of it. So,
no, I understand. I mean, I'm a self-pronounced agnostic. I know that I'll never know the difference at the end of it. I know that there's something beyond this. I mean, you look at M-theory and physics and recognize mm-hmm. God or whatever you want. But if you look at religion, any religion doesn't grow with the times, whether it be a 12-year-old marrying a grown man. That's not socially acceptable anymore, but religion views that way.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
If you believe in Christianity, if you're Muslim, if you're Jewish, you believe that slavery's fine because God said it in the Old Testament. Social society says that's not fine anymore.
Right.
So you have to have common sense and modern applicable laws in any religion, because you can tell me all you want that God's law is highest in this land. That's the Constitution, then we can get back to it, because the Constitution says you can't have slavery, you can't have child, you know, let an adult make an adult decision, and the gray area is at what point you inquire that to your children.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Tough.
Yeah, and again, it's not, it's hard for me to talk about religion and not offend a religious person, so I'm sorry. it's the way it is, but sometimes I think religious people don't realize what it's like on the other side sometimes, being thought of as evil just because I don't have this belief system that you have. So it goes both ways a little bit. Anyway, we'll bring up more of those subjects in Hour 2 here in Toker Talk Radio. If you're hanging out with us live, if you're listening on the podcast, thanks for joining us. We'll be back tomorrow with more news and interviews you can use for the cannabis community. For Ganja John, Wiz Calico, Todd Armstrong, our friend Craig, and Cannabis Carry, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us, and until next time, take care of each other, Tokers.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Take it on one more time. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.